Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about it, Tuesday, Church Folk Day, and we started off talking about some of our news stories. Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, about the man who walked past a woman in her parked car, minding her own business, and unfortunately, he had nothing else to do. He took a box of Pop-Tarts, the empty box, set it afire, and threw it on the woman, and then took a power cord and wrapped it around her throat. Thank God she was able to get away. And, you know, we talked about the fact, you know, are we talking mental illness? Or are we just talking evil? You know, what is really going on? You know, when you walk the streets with these items in your hand, you really only have one intent. And really, what is going on in a person's head? Well, speaking of that, we had, you know, the mass shooting. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, in Highland Park, things won't be the same. You know, for a lot of people, as 6 people were killed and 36 were wounded, again, at the hands of someone who is clearly mentally unstable. And, you know, do we want to say mentally ill? Because I don't know if that's really the same thing. Mentally unstable or mentally ill. I need to start getting some definitions here because, you know, This world, we know, is covered by the enemies. You know, yes, you use that term. But the Bible tells us that the enemy is the prince of this world. So let's say it like that. God controls everything. And he has allowed this enemy to run freely through our world. And, you know, again, in the wake of the gun laws being the focus of attention, you know, here we are again with more people losing their lives senselessly just out for Independence Day. You know, what kind of independence do we have when you can't even sit and prepare to watch a parade without possibly being wounded and maybe even losing your life? You know, it's really a sad state of affairs. We did ask the question yesterday, is this our new norm? You know, can we anticipate that every time we go out, we're looking over our shoulder. You know, we're staring at everybody a little harder than we normally would. You know, if you got on the long trench coat and it's, you know, 80 degrees, are we already wondering, are you up to something? This is the reason why we need Jesus. I mean, let's just call it what it is. This is why we need God, because, you know, it's one thing to walk around concerned. It's one thing to walk around and be alert and aware. There's another thing to walk around in fear. And that's pretty much what a lot of people are experiencing now. They're experiencing fear, walking around, you know, fearful of everything. Fearful that people don't steal their identity. Fearful that they don't get shot. Fearful that, you know, if this go wrong, that's going to go wrong. Or if that happens, or I can't go here because that's what happened there. And, you know, I can't put my information on the internet because somebody going to take it. And, you know, we cannot live like that. And Christ said, I came not to give you life, but to give you life abundantly. And that's what we need to think about right now. We need to really concentrate on that. And again, it doesn't mean to let your guard down. Or your guard down, however you want to say it. But it does mean that you walk with confidence that God is going to take care of you. And guess what? We really don't know what that means, do we? Because we do understand that not everyone who has been murdered is a sinful person. No, not at all. Look at the World Trade Center. You know, all those thousands and thousands of people, God's people had to have been in there. I refuse to believe that not one godly person was in there. You know, so, you know, because God's people got to be everywhere, right? So if God's people are everywhere, then we are subject to the same illnesses. We're subject to the same experiences. We're subject to, you know, all of the different things that we're going through in this life, in this world. Yeah, we're not exempt. We're not exempt. But God decides to cover us in the way he does. And, you know, this is why we need the Lord, because we need to know that there's some comfort in our life. That, you know, I may not have control, but God's got me. So, you know, those are the things that we were talking about yesterday, and we had our prime discussion. You know, Pastor, you know, you got to protect your family. And one of the things we talked about was protecting our families as pastors from undue expectations of our spouse and our children. Yeah, you know, church folk or something else. You know, they always feel like, you know, you shouldn't be moving here, you shouldn't be doing that. I have a person that I know who's, you know, in the church, and there's a woman who always tells her where she feels she should be in the church and where she what she feels she should be doing. This, you know, and I'm like, hey, why don't you go sit down somewhere and mind your manners? Mind what you should be doing. You know, I think, you know, husband should be doing this and wife should be doing that. But you don't know what God has called that individual to do in the church. And if that's okay between the husband and the wife, then mind your business. Oh, I think I'm gonna make that a check. Okay, is that okay, Chauncey? I'm gonna mind your business. Come on now. So, you know, when I looked at this list, I was like, man, I could think of somebody for every single one of these, you know, instances. You know, we gotta make sure that these, you know, individuals in the church don't decide your schedule as a pastor. You know, we do know that some people are, you know, a little more, how do you want to say this, needy than others. And a lot of times their need comes from their disobedience.
Yeah.
They need that extra prayer, and they need that extra conversation, and they need to know what's going on. And, you know, Pastor Charlene and Pastor Kale talked about it yesterday. You know, so we know that this list was not, you know, birthed from the people guessing at this thing. It probably was a pastor who wrote it. Yeah, probably was. And, you know, I was so glad that this conversation came up. And what a time when we're talking about protecting ourselves, because, you know, you protect yourself from the people in the street. You protect yourself from your family members. You protect yourself from everywhere else, everyone else. But the church should be free and clear of all of that, you know, meddling and extra busyness unnecessarily and all of those undue expectations and all of the chaos and the trials and tribulations. You know, we know that sick people are in the church because it's a hospital for the sick, spiritually sick. And, you know, we know that people are coming into the church, so you're going to have to deal with people things. You know, you're not going to be, you know, free of all of this stuff that goes on in the world, in the church, because, you know, if they came in well, would people really come to church? You know, most time they come to church when they've gotten to the, you know, end of their rope, or when they really just trying to get that extra edge on life and trying to really make that change, and, you know, they feel that change and they see the need for the change, so they come to the church. But unfortunately, they don't come to the church already cured. No, they're bringing, you know, what they have in their pocket. So, you know, you do understand that when, you know, everyone walks through the door, there is some need, and some are more needy than others. Someone has, you know, some people have, you know, they're a little more sick than others. They have a different illness, or the same illness has affected them in different ways. Man, we can go on and on and on and on and on until the break of dawn. It's Wednesday, y'all. It's Wow Wednesday over here on the Duke Tower with Pastor Steph. And you can see that I'm quite delirious. I'm well rested. So I'm having a good old time over here this morning. I've been up for quite a while. You know, I didn't wake up when I wanted to, but God kind of got me up a little bit early. So I guess I'm just a little bit excited because I'm feeling good. My back is killing me, but I am feeling really good on the inside. And, you know, I woke up listening to some, you know, to some inspirational, godly, Christian gospel music, and, you know, you know, laying there and just enjoying God. And I invite you to do the same this morning. Come on and enjoy God with me. We have a lot to celebrate. Yes, there's six people who are no longer here, and there are six families mourning right now. But thanks be to God, we are here, and we're saying it's a Wow Wednesday today. We are on this side of the grave, so how could you not celebrate today? So come on and join me. Come on and join me. Come on and join me in the celebration. Make sure you go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere. We will be right back.
Juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, or really what we call juvenile inflammatory arthritis now, or idiopathic inflammatory arthritis, is can be several different conditions. There's actually three major conditions that we see in that age group. And basically, they're swollen joints, stiff joints, redness or inflammation around joints. If a kid has something like that and it persists for more than a few days, then that's something that really ought to be checked out. There's excellent treatments available, and they can prevent long-term problems.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again to you. Welcome, or welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor the Steps, and it is Wow Wednesday. Now, before we went into our little break, didn't I say we have reason to celebrate? You just heard the PSA for juvenile arthritis, and that's the focus, one of the focuses and awarenesses of the month of July. And, you know, I was just sitting here and I was just rejoicing that, you know, I have a granddaughter who's 7. God spares, soon to be 8. And, you know, she's healthy. You know, my children, healthy. You know, when we were growing up, we didn't have no juvenile arthritis. You know, you just didn't go through that. We were very healthy children. You know, but thanks be to God, you know, there are treatments and things for this here, and you know, thanks be to God when we don't have that to be concerned with, and we lift those up in prayer who, you know, who do have those ailments at such an early age. I know how I feel when my body is not right and my hands are all cramped up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, to think of a little one going through all of that, wow, poor little thing. You know, and it's juvenile arthritis. It starts for some very, very early in life. So, you know, we got a whole lot to be grateful for. So, you know, again, today is Wow Wednesday. And you know how we do on Wednesday mornings. We got our girlfriend, Viv, who comes through with her socially conscious segment. So let's say good morning to Vivian. Wait. Now let me just turn the mic on. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. No, you got to say it in the Mariah voice. Come on, let's go.
Fine, thank you.
Okay. All right, what you got for us this morning?
All right, today on Socially Conscious, let's take a look at these COVID numbers. Top 5 states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still in that number one spot, with 132,735 cases. That is an increase of over 3,000 cases since last week. Florida is number 2 with 67,756 cases. That is a decrease of over 7,000 cases for Florida. Texas is number 3 with 45,234 cases. That is a decrease of over 33,000 cases since last week. New York City is number 4 with 26,508 cases. That is an increase of over 3,000 cases. And number 5 is New Jersey with 22,351 cases. That is a decrease of over 6,000 cases since New Jersey was in our top 5 about a month ago. So as we can see, quite a few of the states saw some decreases this week, but these numbers do not include the fourth day of July festivities. So we'll have to wait till next week to see if these decreases will continue or end after everyone was out for the weekend. And now in some local news, I found a very interesting article that deals with the abortion rights and that fight that is happening right now. So Google has announced on Friday that it would soon get rid of location history entries if the search engine identified that an individual has visited an abortion center or other medical facility, an action coming in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn the Roe versus Wade. They're saying some of the places people visit, including medical facilities like counseling centers, domestic violence shelters, abortion clinics, fertility centers, addiction treatment facilities, cosmetic surgery clinics, and other places such as those can be particularly personal. So if you don't know, location history is a Google account setting that is off by default. And if you would want to turn it on, then you can go into your settings and turn that feature on. But it is off. But a lot of people do use it, especially if you use Google Maps. They oftentimes keep a record of where you have visited, especially if you're using them to get there. So they're saying that they're going to start getting rid of your location history when it comes to places like that. So to me, this was interesting. Because to me, it was Google's way of letting us know where they stand and making it their business to protect their users, where they can at least. And I thought that it was interesting for Google to get place themselves in this conversation. Next, we have an article featuring Pastor Steph's favorite mayor. He's in our headlines again. Well, he's kind of in our headline. So the headline reads, Eric Adams' aide mugged at gunpoint, told crooks, quote, you don't want to do this, I work for the mayor, end quote. So they say one of Eric Adams' aides, he is 33 years old. His name is Christopher Bug. He was mugged in broad daylight on Tuesday while scouting locations in Brooklyn for a planned visit by the mayor. He says it all started when he refused to turn over his wallet and cell phone, telling the robbers, quote, get out of my way. Next, one struck his leg out from behind him while the other pushed him to the ground. They then went through his pockets and swiped his city-issued cell phone and a wallet holding 5 credit cards. Mr. Bug then found a security guard working nearby and used the guard's phone to call 911. So what got me is, one, he really thought those men would care that he worked for the mayor. Like, they was going to be like, oh, wow, I'm so sorry, sir. Please, enjoy your day just because you work for Eric Adams. Then to top it all off, Democratic political consultant Hank Schinkpoff said the robbers, he said, quote, robbers' fearlessness painted a bleak picture for the future, end quote. Sir, where you been? Because this ain't no. And then he doubled down and says, New Yorkers would feel a lot better if the muggers were afraid of committing a crime against a mayor's staffer. They were not. New Yorkers are going to feel less safe, end quote. Again, Mr. Sir, New Yorkers have been dealing with this for a long time now. And it's absolutely sad how out of touch politicians are. You can't help fix something or improve something you are ignorant about. So they seem to think that this is new. Like, people ain't getting mugged every day. But, you know, hey. And, of course, what is a holiday weekend without the gun violence? Reports say that more than 50 people were shot in New York City alone over the long 4th of July weekend. From Friday through Sunday, police said shootings spiked 60% compared to the same time period last year. There were 24 shooting incidents with 31 victims, according to police. And last year, there were 15 incidents and 19 victims in the same time period last year. So definitely appears to be the new norm. And lastly, for our story, are you a foodie? Someone who seeks out a good eat wherever they go? Well, you can possibly get paid to eat. Time to Play will pay someone $500 to eat their way through four casino buffets in Las Vegas and review them for its website. They're saying that your flight to Vegas will be covered, plus a four-night stay at a Las Vegas casino hotel. You can also bring one person with you. And in addition to the $500 paycheck, you'll get, once you do the reviews, Time to Play will provide $1,000 when you're in Vegas to use as spend the money in between your trips to the buffet. You have until July 31st to apply, and as part of your application, you have to answer and describe what makes you the perfect buffet tester in 250 words or less, and you must be at least 21 years old to enter. So you can go to www.timetoplay.com/buffet-tester to apply. Again, you got to be 21 and older, and describe what makes you the perfect buffet tester in 250 words or less. And you go to timetoplay.com/buffet-tester. And now for our wow story of the week. So we've been talking about these people who go out and commit crimes while out on bail, but this story is on another level. 26-year-old Darren Canoli in Colorado is being accused of robbing a bank while wearing an ankle bracelet. Reports say Darren was on parole for a liquor store robbery back in 2016. Investigators say records indicate the monitor showed him at the bank during the time of the robbery and also revealed movement that aligned with the getaway car that was captured on surveillance cameras just before the robbery. Reports say Canoli was placed on parole in April of this year, so just 2 months before the bank robbery happened. So he is just now getting out of jail and was back to business as soon as possible. But I'm kind of stumped because I don't know who's more dumber, him robbing the bank with an ankle bracelet on, or the people and or person that did it with him. So they don't really speak about the other people or person that was with him because, you know, they're focusing on this man who just robbed the bank with the ankle bracelet on. And we don't know whether they convinced him to join their scheme or if he convinced them to help him. But it was definitely just dumb all around. They had to have known that they would get caught. This definitely goes down in the dumbest criminal of the world records. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you'd like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian. Thank you. You know, I'm looking at your COVID numbers going up and down. So, like you said, we'll find out what it looks like next week after we get the July 4th numbers. And
yeah,
I'm with you with the mayor's aid and these people who I can't even imagine you thinking that, you know, this was going to make a difference. You saying, you know, hey, I work for, that was just so weak. What a weak way out. Yo, that is crazy. And your boy, you know, robbing the bank possibly, because they have it, you know, this is not something confirmed. This is just them doing the research, correct?
Yeah, they're still investigating it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I want to ask our listeners, you know, who was dumb? who was the dumber criminal? The one who robbed the bank with the, well, potentially robbed the bank with the ankle bracelet on, or the ones who went in the bank with him to rob the bank, knowing that he was being monitored, and if he gets caught, he's probably going to tell. Who was dumber? Come on, give me a hit. 347-285-7777. All right. Thank you so much, Vivian, for the news for today, our socially conscious news, and we pray you have a blessed one.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. All right. Let's get to our ladies this morning. Let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Do I detect a bigger smile over there today?
Yes, 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 you do.
All right, so go ahead and make your announcement.
I want to welcome into the world my grandson, Matthias Gregory DeWeese. He was born on July 1st. He came in at 4 pounds, 13 ounces, and 17.17 inches long, and he has completely stolen my heart.
Which they always end up doing. Well, congratulations. I just found it so interesting because when you came on last week, you started off, you know, telling us how you were preparing for the shower on Saturday.
Yes.
And here it was Friday, you sent over the announcement that baby was on his way.
Yes.
So we're so grateful to God for the new arrival and mom doing well. And we congratulate your family and definitely pray over little Matthias's life. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So tell us, what story do you want to talk about this morning, minus our dumber-than-dumb criminal of the week right now?
I mean, I guess, right, there's only the mayor's aide and the Vegas eating fun stuff. But so I guess we'll deal with the mayor's aide. You know, I think when you find yourself in these predicaments, you're going to just try to pull up everything you can and hope something lands, right? Like, leave me alone. I'm the mayor's aide. Leave me alone. He said that out of desperation, hoping that it would land. But obviously, Trembler's like, listen, you don't know me. I don't know you. We don't care.
Right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
But it does. You know, I think the statement around, you know, how can, you know, you feel safe if the criminal doesn't even have regard? But I think that we've been talking about this, right? That lack of regard for just anything that was sacred back in the day, right? If it was that a church was sacred, you walked past the church, you know, even the winos would hide their wine, you know, when they walked past the church. If young people was cursing walking down the block, when they got in front of the church, they would make the sign of the cross. Like, things were sacred. Human life was sacred. Nothing is sacred anymore. And so I'm not shocked that, you know, saying, hey, I'm a government official or I'm connected to a government official, that would mean anything, because nothing is sacred. They don't care.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, now that you put it that way, you're right. You know, you're out of desperation, you know, I got kids, you know, please don't do this. I just, this happened or that happened, so please, you know. So I guess, like you said, you know, to potentially throw out anything. And then, you know, maybe for that quick thought that, you know, if I say I work for the mayor and then you ever get caught, you know, there's a potential that, you know, your sentence would be harder. So think about it.
Think about it.
At that time, but getting that wallet. So
right.
Ain't sister. That's right. Ain't no time to think. We think we'll think about that later. Clearly, as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, everybody think about what's going to happen on the back end. And nobody think about the fact that, you know, if you are caught after this, you know, that the mayor has something to do with this particular case, and you just may not come out too happy. So I didn't think about it when Vivian said it, but when you said it like that, you're right. You know, we thought anything that could possibly become a deterrent to the, you know, time. So, well, like you said, it didn't work. Maybe she said the president.
You know what? I don't know. I think, and I think too, what's telling is that we are living in desperate times, right? With the economy, you know, there's talk of us, you know, kind of being back in a recession and stuff like that as a result of the pandemic and its toll on the economics of this country and of this world and stuff like that, the lack of formula. People are out here desperate. Now, I mean, you know, I think, you know, evil is evil and evil is going to always exist. It's going to do what it always does. But I also think that we have to kind of survey the environment, survey the season and the time that we're living in. And I do believe that desperation is at an all-time high. And with that desperation, you know, people don't care. All morals and ethics go out the window when you are desperate.
Absolutely, absolutely. These things just don't matter. You know, again, you know, I'll think about that later. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
mm-hmm.
that a lot of at that point right now, in everything. I don't think there's any, you know, short of that, no matter what you talk about. You know, everything, every decision that's made higher up, every decision that's made individually, I think you're right. This is the climate we're in right now. Well, you know what? I'll just cover that when time comes. Right now, I'm just going to do what I got to do. So, yeah.
Right, catch me first. Right, catch me first. You would have to
catch me first. That's right. Let me spend this money and then talk about going to jail or getting caught. You know, right now, I need this money. You know, so we'll think about that later. So I think there is that mentality. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's go to the one who always tells us how close we are to the end. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and God bless you all this morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you all this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. Fine. You sounding all mellow over there, and I'm all at level like 92. Ah! Oh, my goodness gracious.
Chillaxing, honey. Chillaxing.
Man, I hear you. I definitely hear you. So we've got the July 4th weekend where more than 50 people in New York City alone were killed over that July 4th weekend. We've got this abortion rights Google is now taking a stand to erase all of your history, your searches for certain items, you know, such as, you know, any medical areas or domestic violence or abortion clinics or whatever, because they want to cover your privacy. We've got Foodie. Are you a foodie? You know, getting that that win, if you can go and get 4 restaurant reviews for them, they'll pay you $500. And then after that, they'll give you $1,000 to spend once you get to Vegas. And they're going to pay your way there. So what you want to talk about this morning, Pastor Kim?
I want to talk about going to Vegas, honey. I need me a vacation. I was like, ooh. I came in on that. I'm like, do what now? I said, but you know what? It's always a catch-22. I'm like, okay, you got to go to www./backs, all of that. And I'm like, never mind. Forget it. You know, then I got to write an essay about all of this. I'm trying to be no hostess or whatever they want you to be and all of that. No, never mind. You know, but I know it's always, you know, everything always has its stipulations, you know, on what you got to do. And then after you've done all of that, you know, then it's always, you know. And Vegas, they've always been known for having all of the bait to get you there, you know, to get you to gamble. All they want to do is get you there. If they can get you there, if they could offer you this, they could offer you a flight, they could offer you the hotel, they could offer you all of that good sounding stuff to just get you there, and they give you that money for you to give it right back to them. Look, they know that's what you're going to do. And that's what Vegas is about, gambling. You know, just coming over there to gamble, to give them whatever it is that they give you back. You know, everything that sounds good is not always good. And that's what we have to understand, that, you know, a lot of times they just promote this stuff to make it look like it's all of that. And then, you know, you got to read the fine print, because a lot of times there's always a catch to it, or something that you're going to have to do, or something that in the long run is going to come back to bite you. So, you know, everything is just sounds good. It's just not always worth it, you know. So, but, yeah, it would be nice to just get a vacation in with the hotel, with the $1,000 to spend and all of that, you know. But, unfortunately, you know, you just got to use wisdom. You know, you got to use wisdom, you know, because when God got a blessing for you, you're not going to have to go write no essay. You ain't going to have to do all of this other stuff. You know, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and don't add no sorrow to them. You ain't got to go through all of them crazy changes. So, yeah, but it did sound good, though.
You know why I'm asking? Because for a couple of Tuesdays in our church folk, we had done some stories, some news stories, and we talked about how, you know, Christian people always come up with, you know, well, the Lord, that was God's blessing. There was a story I covered where this guy walks in to the bank to use the ATM. The door was open. The door was left open, probably by the person who stocked it, didn't push the door, and he took two sleeves of money, and it ended up being $200,000 that he had. And I'm sure he didn't know it was $200,000, but it was. And we talked about the fact that, you know, Christian people would say, and, you know, instead of leaving it and closing it or going and telling somebody, hey, you know, this door is open, they would take the money and then say, you know, well, listen, God, what were the odds of me walking up in there and finding the door? That was a blessing. God had that for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why I was laughing when you said that, because that's what Christian people do. You know, they definitely throw up all of these things for the blessings. One of the things I wanted to throw at you, Pastor Kim, when you said that everybody, you know, everything that you got to read the fine print, because I'm thinking, okay, so you say you're going to give me this $1,000. Now, you didn't put me on a plane to get me here. You are going to pay me $500 to do the four reviews of the casino buffets, which is not ungodly. I do the reviews. I ain't lying. I'm going to tell you the truth. You pay me $500, whatever. But here's what I wanted to throw at you. So they give you the $1,000. Pastor Kim, I refuse to believe that they're going to give you $1,000 in cash. And then Vivian, you can text me and let me know if I'm wrong. What they'll probably do is give you $1,000 of casino credit. So it goes back to what you said, where now they're going to now, you know, kind of draw you in to gamble, because that's what you're going to do. You ain't got no other choice but to do that with the $1,000. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and, you know, for a person that's not a gambler, you know, that could be the very thing that could, you know, get you hooked. You know,
that's
why I said, you know, you got to be careful, because the enemy is so cunning. He's so slick at what he does. You know, now here you are, you know, going to Gambling Anonymous because you got a gambling addiction. And that's why you can't play with the devil. you know, because,
right.
you know, he's so slick at, you know, killing, stealing, and destroying. And if he could destroy you, if he's an accuser of the brethren, that would be just like him to have the pastor sitting up in Las Vegas, you know, now I done went through the 1,000 you done gave me. Now I'm sitting up here cashing out all my money in my bank account because, you know, I didn't hit a lick with that 1,000 y'all done gave me, and I done got up, and I done got some money, and now I want to get greedy, and I want to, you know, try to get, you know, I want to go big, you know, I want to, because everybody want to be in it to win it. You want to try to get all you can get, you know, and
right.
you done lost some, so now you want to get it back. So now you done pulled
right.
out your
right.
debit card. Now you done
right.
pulled out the credit
right.
card. Now you done pulled,
right.
now you got to put your house up. You know, that's what happens. This is how it happens with people. You know?
Yep. That's what I was thinking, Pastor
Tim.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Thank you, Vivian. Vivian says that, no, they didn't say cash or credit. So, hey, there you go right there. No, they didn't say cash.
See?
Because now they're going to give you that credit, probably. And now... you're going to have to spend. And like you said, I agree. You go ahead and you blow that $1,000. Now you say, well, you know what? I do got a couple hundred, you know, I got my own money. I could go ahead and throw up in the machine, you know. I just spent most of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So now I could go ahead and touch a little bit of mine. And based on your win or lose, you know, record at the time, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue? So like you said, you know, that just can be a gateway to a whole lot of things, you know. So you're absolutely right, Pastor. You know, you have to be very careful when you get yourself involved in these things because it just may not go the way you want it to go. Thank you so much, Pastor Kim, for joining us this morning. And
thanks for having me.
Oh, please. I don't know where I would be without you, ladies. I am missing our lady Tamika so much. She's doing very well. For all to know, just still going through her training. But we've always got our ram in the bus. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I am well, thank you. I'm well, as you can hear. I don't know what got into me this morning, but I am just like so pumped. I don't understand why, but I'm good. What you want to talk about today?
Okay, so I got all wrapped up in the getting paid to eat. So can you give a quick recap? Last day, trying to find the website.
So we got the Google search that's going to be wiped out of your history for the abortion rights issues and all of the things that are really private. That you do your personal searches for. We're talking about the 50 people killed over the 4th of July weekend right here in New York alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you got left because Pastor Kim just stole it. Elder Latisha stole all the ones. So now what you got? What you want to talk about?
Well, them clearing out, you know, your browser history as far as if you were Googling information on, you know, an abortion clinic or, you know, if you needed to, if you needed to go speak to someone regarding anything that had to do with domestic violence or anything, I think that's really good because they, you know, a lot of people have noticed already, you know, you could be talking about something and then it pops up on your Facebook, you know, or you could be talking about something and now all of a sudden it pops up on, you know, on your Google. You know, when you get into the Google browser. So to now have that erased, I think that's good because you don't want people to know, you know, even if I didn't go to the abortion clinic, I don't want everybody knowing I was looking up no abortion clinic. That ain't nobody's business but me and my phones. That's it. You know, so to do that, I think they may be doing that, I think like Vivian said, you know, to overturn them. Listen, this is none of your business. You know, because this law that was passed is your way of being all up in my business. Now, if we clear this is one way of showing stay out of people's business. So I actually like that, doing that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was
a strategic thing to do as well. I know a couple of years ago, Eldon and I, Tisha, I don't know if you remember, but you brought up this algorithm thing and how all you need to do is go into one area and they start pulling and sending you stuff and all these pop-ups and things come up. When you were talking about that, it really kind of set my senses up, started watching. And, you know, you're right, Shanti. You know, it's, all you have to do is type in one letter and it brings up, like, your stuff that you looked up. And, you know, if somebody else just happens, you just give your phone to somebody to look up something. And if they don't clear it, and now you go in, and now they're in all your business, you know. And it's just something that I agree. They need to do more to protect your privacy. And I wish they would do some other stuff to protect your privacy. Like, all you got to do is type in, like, your name and all the people you ever lived with.
Pops up.
So, you know, it is good, and I am glad that, you know, without them coming right out and saying it, there's, you know, covert ways and, you know, things we can say without saying it. So I agree with you. I agree with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So, ladies, we've got the dumber of the dumb of the dumb this week for our wow story. So we've been covering for the past 2 weeks. Last week we covered how they were passing a law in, I think it was London, where they could, or they had passed a law where all you had to do was 90% of your sentence, if you were like, if you had a shoplifting, you know, low level crime, and you would work out the rest of your sentence, that 10%, from home. And, you know, people were upset, and they were doing things like making scarves and hats for the Ukrainian refugees and those kind of things, you know, little stuff like that from home. And I'm sure they had some kind of monitoring bracelet or whatever to make sure they stayed home. And then this week, covering a story yesterday of how they are in Virginia looking to let up to 8,000 criminals out of their for good behavior. So we're talking about rapists, we're talking about murderers, we're talking about there were no crimes that were off the list, unlike the one in London. So here you have a rapist coming out potentially on good behavior. Well, how would you know he was behaving well if he wasn't in there raping anybody because ain't nobody raped? So, but that's all, you know, kind of crazy, I suppose. So here you have it in, you know, with this 26-year-old who was out on parole for 2 months and has been trapped from being in this bank and during a robbery, and also tracked with where the getaway car went, you know, the tracing of the getaway car. And I don't know, what comes to your mind when we talk about these two stories that were just covered, where they're trying to give these people an opportunity, and here you go, 2 months. And already they can suspect you were a part of this heist. And we'll start with you, Pastor Kim.
You know, I just think that, you know, people, society is just what it is, you know. But I'm not going to even blame it on that. You get just what you deserve. You know, how stupid could you be? You know, you got this tracker around your ankle, tracking. How stupid! You know what? I'm like, really, for real? Okay, you deserve to be back in prison somewhere, because evidently you don't believe that fat meat is greasy. You know, you're going to keep on doing something stupid and think that you're going to get away. I mean, what is wrong with you? you know, but you got these institutionalized people that the only thing that they know to do is to try to get over, you know, to try to scheme, to try to get fast money. And any way that you can get it, you know, you're going to be out here, you know. And it's like, you know, for you to think that you can get away with robbing a bank or stealing or doing anything with a tracker teller around your ankle, you something is wrong with you, or you just flat out slow.com, you know, because you need to be locked up. You need to be locked back up, and you need to just stay in there and just do a life sentence, because you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it. You know, I mean, you had 2 months, and then you're going to go back to doing something. That was insane. That was insane.
Absolutely. Pastor Kim, I'm going to ask you the question. So Vivian posed a thought. Who is dumber? The one who went into the bank with the tracker on, or the ones who went in with him to rob the bank and knowing he had a tracking device on his ankle? Who's dumber?
Both of them so dumb. Both of them so dumb.
Come on,
you know,
Kim,
when you talk
game,
about the devil made, when you say the devil made me do it, the devil made you do that for real. He just flat out used you and made y'all both look like some real dummies. And I don't even want to ask if they was black or white, you know, because it's like, oh, God, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I think they're both equally dumb.
Come on,
they're equally dumb.
We're gonna look for Sean or Elder Nyteacher to play the game. You don't want to play the game with me this morning.
They equally dumb.
I will say, unfortunately, dumb has no color barrier. They all just every story we do, it just doesn't even matter these days. You know, we used to think that one was worse than the other. Nope.
You're right.
Nope. Everybody.
You are
everybody,
so right.
Everybody in that line. So you're right. You know, that I will agree with. You know, it's just, that's just too much. Shanti.
Yes.
What comes to your mind when you think about this story?
Barabbas. That's all I hear. When they said, when he said, do you want me to crucify Jesus? Or free Barabbas, and they said, free Barabbas, crucify Jesus. That's all I hear. It's just the remedial, retarded, tracking device. What do you think that means? What do you think it means when they say we're putting this tracking device on you? Do you think that means that they just know when you go to the bathroom, that they just know when you go to the front door, or that they're able to see everywhere you go? And you probably chose a bank that was outside of the parameters of how far you were supposed to go anyway. By the time you left the third block, went off anyway, and you just already set the alarm off. It's just like the remedial. Nobody finishes school anymore. It's just dumb. You let them out so that they can do this. Here, this one technically wasn't just free. Like, you were out with contingencies, and you couldn't even stick by the contingencies. Yeah, but that's all I had. Free Barabbas. Lock up Jesus. Free Barabbas. Let's crucify all of the people who are not really doing anything crazy, and let's free all of the people who are just slow. Because Pastor Kim, I've been using that word a whole lot lately, too. You just slow and remedial. Let's free all those people so that they can do this and give Pastor Steph more stories to present in the morning. And everyone who, you know, who's trying to get it together, let's crucify them. It's just dumb.
Okay, so play the game, play the game, play the game. 347-285-7777. I want to know what you think. Who is the dumber one? The one who had the ankle bracelet on, who went in the bank and robbed the bank, or the one who went in there with him knowing he had that ankle bracelet on? What do you say, Shanti?
The dumber one is the one who went with them knowing you got, I'm not going with you. They know where we are. Stupid. They know we about to rob this liquor store, this bodega, this gas station, whatever we fitting to do. They know where we are. Why am I going with you? Because already, like I said, you're slow. Because they gave you something. They ain't, listen, they didn't put you to sleep and insert no chip in you. This thing is huge. Everybody can see it. Everybody wears skinny jeans now, so you can't hide that. And I'm going to go with you and say, here I am. I'm over here with Slowbot robbing the bank. So what point am I going to be able to enjoy the $5 that we just stole when I done went and told the cops where I am? You the dumb one. You stupid. So if he's slow enough to tell the cops what he's doing, then let him be slow by himself. You went with him, so you want to go to jail with him. You're dumb. You're retarded. You're stupid. That's dumb.
Oh, my goodness.
Elder Natasha, come on, give it to us.
I don't have, these ladies are hilarious. I don't have the slow bot and the slow.com. I don't have all those fancy.
Oh, goodness.
These ladies are hilarious. She said, Prima Rabbis. Anyway, but so I think that, I think that being institutionalized is a real thing. It is a real issue. And obviously, right, you know, the fact that you had on the tracker and you went and robbed the bank, you knew that you were going to be caught. This really was because, you know, you came out here and you have this marking that's labeled you, you know, and we don't talk about that enough, that, you know, there are people who try to come from jail, try to reestablish themselves, try to get their lives, you know, together, but it is difficult when you have a felony on your record, and you have to indicate that when trying to get a job and in trying to reestablish yourself, and it makes it extremely difficult. And so you have a large percentage of people who are incarcerated and then newly released who actually find it more difficult to try to reestablish themselves out here than it is to just be in jail where you've learned how to function. You know where your meals are coming from. You know, so the effort that it takes for you to live in jail can actually be easier than the effort it takes for you to quote unquote be out here and be free, because you're not free. That felony marking on your record makes it almost impossible for you to move forward. You know, if you think about just even people with college degrees having a glass ceiling, what must it be like for the individual who now is labeled as a felon? So it is that much more difficult for them. And so it is obvious to me that you made a decision that I want to go back. I'm out here. I've tried for 2 months. I can't do it. I want to go back. So let me go do something that is obviously going to get me caught, that is obviously going to land me back in jail for a significant amount of time. I mean, and I think it's something that needs to be, that's something that needs to be addressed. How do people who are, you know, trying to acquaint themselves in society, how do they manage? You know, there's a story about a woman who has been out of jail for 15 years and got her life together and went and got two master's degrees, working at her church and just like doing all of these things. And she went to try to get her record expunged and get that felony removed off her, and they told her no. They told that woman no. So it is extremely, extremely devastating, and it is difficult. And I think that the system, it's another way for the system to kind of yoke us into that place of bondage where it becomes just hopeless.
A lot to think about. It's a lot to think about, you know, when you delve deeper, because that was my thought. My thought was, you've been out for 2 months. There was no real attempt, because it would take 2 months, at least 2 months, just to plan anything, you know, and that ain't even a real plan in 2 months, because it takes, you know, you really got to put, you know, put some effort and some thought and some time into planning anything. So it would take, so you really didn't, there was no real try to, you know, to get, keep yourself clean. Okay, so after you just said all of that eloquent presentation, Elder Natisha, who's the dumber one?
Yeah, I mean, the dumber one is the one who went with him. Because if he's institutionalized and he wants to go back to jail because he can't make it out here, you, the one who, you know, I mean, we haven't heard about him having on a ankle bracelet. So, you know, the assumption would be that you, you know, this would be your first felon, your first, you know, record. So you would be the dumb one, because he may be institutionalized and he may want to go back. But now he done dragged you down with him, and you allowed yourself to be dragged down with him. And so now you put yourself in the same predicament he's in. You done tried to rob a bank. Now you get this record labeled on you. And so now you've marked yourself for life as well. You're an idiot.
Absolutely. You're the idiot first. Woo, baby. All right. You know, it lends a lot to, it gives us a lot to think about. It actually does. You know, you can think about it on the funny side. You can think about it on the serious side. But at the end of the day, this here is against, you know, these past 2 weeks stories of these people who are trying to fight for you, for whatever the reason is they got in their back pocket. So I'll come back to that in my closing. So thank you, ladies, for indulging me in Vivian's socially conscious news. And this morning, I want to talk about our testimony. You know, I guess, you know, it's interesting that you put it that way. The, you know, your presentation was the way it was, Elder Natisha, because in a sense, you know, we always think about testimony as, you know, God brought me out and God did this and God did that. But actually, a testimony can actually come in many different shapes, forms, and fashions. So even his testimony would be, I know I got this ankle bracelet on. And I know they gave me time to come out on parole. But because I can't figure out a way to make it in society, you know, I'm kind of throwing my hands up. You know, I'd rather just go ahead and sign. I ain't got nothing to think about. I could deal with those on the inside. I didn't spend enough time. I didn't learn how to do this thing. You know, whatever our testimony is our testimony. But we're going to talk about the testimony of the righteous, the testimony of the believer, and why it's so urgent to share your testimony. And I love that we're kind of coming from this angle also, because now maybe it'll make a little more sense to those who are listening as to the power of sharing your testimony, because maybe if more people shared their testimony, we'd have less people like this. So we're going to start with you, Elder Natisha. The first thing they say is, if you have to share your testimony because it's yours.
Absolutely. I mean, it's your story. It's your story. And the Bible says that we are overcome by the words of our testimony, right? Me being able to tell my tale, my truth, my mistakes. And in fact, I, a lot of time, I teach from the position of my mistake, because I think that you could learn more from my mistakes than you can from just me sharing my victories. And so my testimony is comprised of both my mistakes and my victories to show you how God has been able to take my mistakes, to take my flawed perspectives, to take, my early beginnings of dysfunction and difficulty, and then transform that into something so beautiful, right, that it's something beyond what I could have even imagined or thought, I could accomplish. And so it is mine. It is my story. I get to own it, and I get to share it, and I get to tell it, and I get to use it as strength for others, but also as a reminder for me that as I continue to walk forward, right, I get to recall the resume of God. I get to remind myself that God has done it before. And so regardless of what mountain is in front of me, I can remember the mountain God brought me over in my past. And so it's helpful for me to remember, and then it's also helpful to be able to teach and encourage others.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, you know, the power of your testimony, the reason why you need to share your testimony is simply because it's yours.
Absolutely. Nobody could tell your testimony like you can. I believe it's in John 9, I want to say, you know, where the boy was born blind, you know. And they were saying, well, what happened? Did the parents sin? Did they do something wrong? And they were saying, no, it's for the glory of God to be manifested. But, you know, they were saying, you know, go ask his parents or whatever. And he said, no, you could go ask him for yourself, you know, because it's your testimony. You know, it's not what we go through, it's how we come out. You know, and the Bible says that we overcame them by our testimonies and by the blood of the Lamb. And it is so important that when we go through things, you know, sometimes it's for the making of us. Sometimes, you know, that's how God can press fresh oil out of us in going through different things, you know, and having our own personal testimonies, you know. I can't tell Pastor Steph's testimony the way that she can, you know, because only you know what you went through. You know, it's personal. You know, it's your personal testimony. So, you know, nobody could testify about what my experience was with my teen pregnancy or what have you. So we need to testify every chance that we get. You know, it's crazy quick testimony of how Sunday I was in church and we were looking for one of the brothers that hadn't been there. And so I went to his wife and I was asking where he was, and she was saying that he had backslidden, you know, on drugs or what have you. And when I began to testify and tell her about how I was getting high and stuff, you know, she was telling me, she was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that you went through what you went through. And I was like, yeah, I did. I said, but I thank God that I never, you know, graduated to the pipe, because it probably would have been a point of no return had I went to that degree, you know, of, you know, just dipping and dabbing with the crack pandemic, you know, and smoking the 51s or whatever. But she was like, I would never have thought, you know. And see, people, they see the glory, but they don't know the story of what you've been through or how you made it over. But, you know, when it becomes so personal that, you know, see, you can't tell somebody how to get to California if you've never been there. But when you have personally been through some things, you know, you can be an effective witness, and your testimony can help somebody to come out. And with that being said, you know, I begin to touch and agree with her in prayer, you know, and say, look, I've been there, done that. I know how it is. We're going to touch and agree and believe God for your husband that he's going to return home, because he had been gone for a month. And we prayed and we touched and agreed. And that next day, the reason why she ended up calling to thank me for sharing my testimony was because her husband ended up coming back home. So we give God all of the praise, because all the glory belongs to him.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for sharing that, Pastor Kim. I'm sure someone is definitely benefiting from your openness. Thank you so much. Shaji, you know, they say that the reason why you need to share your testimony is simply because it's your testimony. It's yours.
Yes, and like it was said, no one can share your experiences, your mistakes, your stupid decisions the way you can. And I really believe that God is putting on all of our hearts, those who want to walk with him, those who he says belongs to him, put it on our hearts to really share and be a lot more transparent than what we would normally be, or a lot more transparent with those we wouldn't normally talk to, because they obviously need to hear. I'm watching so many people make stupid, dumb, slow mistakes. And when you go to talk to them, I had someone tell me the other day, oh, well, you know, you be telling me stuff, and it be kind of having me in my bag, you know, meaning like they be feeling bad about it. And I want to say, oh, so what? But, you know, I had to throw a dumb moment of mine up in there to show that I'm not just listening to you and now I'm just critiquing everything that you give to me. No, but I'm able to sense the dumb mistakes you're making before you even finish telling me the choice that you made, because I know what it is to just act impulsively and to just act out of self-gratification and instant gratification. So a lot of times, you know, especially when you say you're in church, it's, oh, you're just saying that because you read the Bible. You're just saying that because you were just in church this weekend. No, I'm saying it's too, because I remember when I thought I could do such and such, and it came to slap me in my face. Now, if you want it to slap you in your face, I'm going to tell you how to get it slapped in your face. Or do you want to hear how you can go around that and make another choice that would be a lot more beneficial? So you do have to really make sure that you share your story, because when people really feel like they can relate to you, when God now puts it on their heart for them to come to you, you know, they'll remember the last time, even if you have to get on them, but then they remember the last time you said, oh, okay, well, so-and-so said that, you know, they had their moments of doing this. And you become a lot more relatable, and that way you sharing your story just opens up the door for you to be able to share God with people a lot more. So you have to make sure you tell your story.
All righty. You know, they have here. You need to share your testimony, because your testimony demonstrates God's power. And I know you kind of touched on this, Pastor Kim, but I like to make sure that even when you ladies, or whenever we're talking, the crew is talking, when we gloss over something, if that point needs to be made, I like to go back and just nail it, why we need to, you know, talk about that particular point. So let's talk about the fact that your testimony demonstrates God's power.
Amen. You know, I know that in sharing my testimony that it exemplifies God's power, because I could not have done or gotten delivered on my own. You know, I know it was God's power and his strength that did allow for me to come out, because the Bible tells us we could do all things through Christ that strengthens us. It was his strength. You know, I couldn't do it on my own. I tried over and over and over again, and I realized that I didn't even have to make it to a rehab. It was God's power. It was him. It was a one-step program. It was me making up my mind that at that point that I wanted to be delivered and I wanted to be set free from the bondage that I was in, you know, and dipping and dabbing with, you know, smoking the 51. So I thank God, you know, that when he delivered me, when he came to me and he said, I'm going to give you one more chance to change your life, on September the 23rd of 98, when he gave me that opportunity, you know, I took it. You know, I could have very well, you know, continued to play. You know, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, but it was God's grace and mercy that came and found me on that day. And Amen. It was his grace and mercy that delivered me. And I'm so Amen. Ever thankful and grateful that I could testify Amen. That it was God that did it. It wasn't the rehab. It wasn't nobody else that could have delivered me. It was the Holy Spirit himself that personally did that for me.
Amen, 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 amen.
Santis, you know, it says your testimony demonstrates God's power.
Yes, and I share a lot of my stories, and I give my testimony a lot of times. A lot of it ends with he wouldn't let me. You know, I went to go do something, but he wouldn't let me. I went to go, you know, I tried to go somewhere, but he wouldn't let me. I tried to get myself involved with certain people or certain things, and whether I understood how detrimental it would have been or not, you know, he wouldn't let me. Like Pastor Kim said, you know, no one can take credit for that, you know, necessarily, even with the mother he blessed me with, even with the family that I was always blessed with. It was still because he was literally standing in between me and that person, or me stopping me from going to that place, or standing in between someone introducing me to something, or, you know, it was always like, Jesus, you were standing right there. When I really think back and when I speak to people about it, it was a lot of times I catch myself saying, like, wow, it's because Jesus was literally standing in between me and that person, and that's the only reason why that didn't happen. You know, when I give my testimony, it's like it's only by the grace of God that I'm not able to say I was raped. I was raped and beaten. I was left for dead because the situation I intentionally or subconsciously was getting myself into, that should have been a part of my testimony. I was raped, but God. I was left for dead, but God. But yet he didn't even allow it to get to that point. So you really, really, really just have to make sure that you're, again, that transparency. When God says, I need you to be open about this, sometimes it's like a, ugh, you want me to, you sure you want me to say that? And then before you know it, you start talking and talking and talking, because that side of it has to come out, that even when you're able to say, you know, Pastor Stephanie said a lot of time that, you know, especially back in the day, a lot of people would say, Grandma prayed for me, Grandmother. That was still God putting it on Grandma's heart or whomever's heart to pray for you. So as much as you love Grandma, as powerful as those prayers were that was coming from Grandma, that was all God. That was God now inserting that into them. So he has to get the glory out of all of the testimony.
Okay. Amen, amen, amen. Elder Nightisha, share your testimony because it demonstrates God's power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think the reason why God allows us to be able to overcome, to be able to be used in such a way is so that his power can be revealed. I do believe that. In Romans, the Bible talks about, you know, that some are made, like some of us are made for common use, and then there are some that are made for superior usage, right? And no matter what area, how God uses your life, he gets the glory. So whether it is, and that speaks to whether you think that your testimony is not a big testimony, right? There are people I hear say all the time, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't come from abuse. I didn't drink. I didn't, you know, I don't have these stories, you know, that really reveals the power of God. But the truth is, your ability to just walk with God, the blessing of being
right.
from a
right.
family, that still does reveal the glory of God. And it is yet to be revealed what God is going to do through you. And so I think, you know, there is no big and small testimony, that wherever you find yourself, however God is working in your life, right, you living in this human existence requires the power of God to keep you sane, to keep you being filled with joy, to keep you happy, to keep you sustained. Allows for the glory of God to be revealed. And, you know, similar to Pastor Kim, with all of the abuse and all of the things that I went through in at the early part of my life, it wasn't through therapy, right, that I overcame and that I found myself at a healthier place today. It wasn't through what people would feel, you know, or people would, you know, think that after you've gone through that much trauma as a young girl at the hands of your mother, oh, you gonna need therapy. But it wasn't. And it wasn't this one day, you know, it wasn't a one step. It was multiple steps, but it was multiple steps at the feet of Jesus. It was multiple layers. There were multiple cycles that had to be destroyed. There were multiple walls that had to be destroyed, but it happened at the feet of Jesus. And that's the beauty of prayer, that prayer allows for us to get to this place where we're able to trade our perspective for the perspective of Jesus. We're able to take our shaded views and our shaded lenses that have been discolored by our experiences and by our trauma, and we're able to lay them at the feet of Jesus and allow God to illuminate light into us so that we can see this thing differently. And it's at that point that we are able to just peel those layers off. That is a testimony that reveals the power of only God,
Amen.
That no man
Amen.
Can take credit for
Amen.
It, but that it solely and solely belongs to God. And so what are the places in your life, to every listener, what are the places in your life that you know that man had nothing to do with this, but that it was solely God? Tell that story, because someone needs to hear it.
Amen. 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 You ladies are touching on some stuff here. My goodness. Our testimonies promote togetherness, and that's why we need to share that testimony, Shantice. What would you say to that one? Are you talking to the mute button?
I was, sorry. our testimonies promote togetherness. It definitely will help to keep you around like-minded people because, again, God doesn't just want you standing on the mountaintop just shouting your business to, you know, in a hood. A bunch of people who ain't going to pay you no mind or ain't going to matter, you know, but he strategically sends you. You know, that's part of your way of serving him and serving others by now going to people, you know, and even though you know, he may send you to a non-believer. In a way, that's still going to like-minded people. You know, they were or they are where you once were. So now you go and your testimony is part of what's going to help to bring them to now the side of Christ where you are, where now it's the other level of being with like-minded people. So, you know, this thought that a lot of Christians have, like, oh, I can't associate myself with. You know, it was funny because I was just reading, I think it was last week again, of how Jesus was being criticized because he was sitting and breaking bread with the tax collectors and the this and the that and the prostitutes and all of that. Meanwhile, they were just like the people you were criticizing him being with. And Jesus was the only one who we could say never had a I remember when story, okay? So we ain't like that. We have an I remember when story. So I may not have been a prostitute, but I remember when there was a point in my life where I could have been looked at just like this prostitute. So the like-minded people is not only with the people that you walk into the church building with. It's also with the people who God is sending you to those who were once where you were. That's why your testimony is so effective to that person or to those group of people. So it definitely does help with the unity that God is now trying to present to others.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Nitesha, we're talking about the fact that your testimony promotes togetherness. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing more powerful than hearing someone else relate to where you are. Nothing. There's nothing more powerful than that. When I was over the Married Women's Ministry, the one thing that I would do to level set was say, grab your sister's hand, because the woman standing next to you understands exactly how you feel. She knows exactly
yep.
how frustrated
and
men can. She knows exactly how frustrating it men. Is to try to figure them out. She understands exactly how you feel. And I think, you know, that level setting, it allows
for the enemy to not isolate you. I love Animal Channel. And in the Animal Channel, you realize that every predator looks for the person that's alone. The moment one of the members of the tribe fall behind, whether it's the baby, whether it's the older one, whether it's one that's sick, the one that kind of falls behind, that's isolated, that's not a part of the pack, that's the one that the enemy jumps on. That's the enemy tries to overtake.
Ma'am.
But when we come together and open up our mouth and share the fact that, no, sis, you're not alone. I've been there. He crazy. She crazy. These kids crazy. That mother's difficult.
Yep.
When people open up their mouths and start saying, "Not you, not alone, me too," it is powerful. It takes away the enemy's attempt to try to isolate you and make you feel like this is all about you. You ain't no good. You're a bad wife. You're a bad mother. You're a bad Christian. You're a bad daughter. And you're the only one who's going through this. The devil is a lie. No, we've all been through this thing, and we all can come out of it together. So when I share with you, "Hey, girl, I've been there. I came out of it," it gives you hope to say, "Oh, well, I'm good. I'm coming out of this too."
Amen.
Yes, you are. Let's go.
Amen. 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 Pastor Kim, your testimony. Promote togetherness.
Absolutely. You know, again, where there's unity, there's strength. You know, and when we begin to share our testimonies with others, it kind of bonds you with other people, you know, that and you know, because I think that communicating is so therapeutic, and you never know whose counselor you might be able to be, or whose confidant you might be able to be, or whose minister you might be able to be at that very moment, you know. And it allows a sense of togetherness, because, you know, in just coming together and being able to share different things, you know, you kind of gel with that person. And it just goes back to God getting the glory, because, you know, he already foreknew all things, you know, and it was already predestined that God will allow for you to connect with that person in the right place at the right time and that very moment that they needed you, or you might have needed them. So it definitely brings a sense of togetherness, and it's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, as we close, I want to close on the point that your testimony displays God's love. And we'll start with you, Shantice.
My testimony displays God's love. It shows how much he loved me. He said, "Girl, you need help from you. Forget everybody else. You need help from you. I love you enough to show you that it's you." Not to say other
Amen.
People ain't
Amen.
Helping, but it's you. And I'm going to save you from you. And I'm going to show you how to treat you. And I'm going to show you how to teach others how to treat you. But I got to start with you.
Amen.
Because I love you. And with him doing that, you know, really, really shows how much, cause especially as I'm watching people be around other people, and, you know, even if they feel like they should say something or do something for them that would be beneficial, you know, and it may rattle their feathers, but because they don't want to rattle their feathers, they'll either say nothing or they'll just go along with it. And that just is like, that's worse than you telling me you don't like me. Mm-mm. No, so I've learned to love God for that, and I've learned the type of love that he has for me, that he would not stop at anything to save me from the state of mind that I was in, the self-destruction that, you know, that's the point that I was in. You know, how it didn't matter, how he was willing to risk his reputation in my eyes You know, like, I know this is how you're going to view me, but I need to show you that I love you by saving you from yourself and from other people, places, and things. And he knew that if he kept working at it, that I would stop being stupid and slow and realize his true character and how he really is and stop being immature and looking at him like he's just some big, mean being who just don't want me to live my life and don't want me to have fun and don't want me to be happy. But it's, I love you enough to do this for you, even if it means you look at me like you don't like me right now. But I know you're going to love me. I know you're going to love me. And he's teaching me how to now have that mentality. And it's a little difficult. I was kind of going through it last night. But that just shows the love that he has, that I will stop at nothing because I say I want you, because I say I love you, and because I have so much for you to do, and I have so much for you, that this is how I'm going to show you how much I love you. And it reminds me of a set of lyrics in one of Kirk Franklin's songs where it says, "You call," it pretty much saying, "You call this love. This ain't fair that you say this is love, God." Because what we deem as love is always supposed to feel good. And God teaches us that, no, love sometimes means I'm going to rattle your feathers. And now I'm like, God, please be petty with me. If they want to call you petty, if they immature enough to call, please be petty with me. Please rattle my feathers, because that is how you're showing me your love. So my testimony shows that he loves me so much, and that's all that I make sure that I tell people.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you. Pastor Cam, tell that testimony, because it shows God's love.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a song that says, "Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me." And I often think about that song, you know, because the song goes back to say, "When I was a sinner, love lifted me. You know, when I was going through this, love lifted me." You know, so I know that it was God's love. And a lot of times some of us don't even love ourselves, but God's love is so powerful.
Amen.
And
amen.
The word
amen.
Says that love covers
amen.
A multitude
amen.
Of sin. So I am thankful and grateful for God's love today, because some of us, when we didn't love ourselves, when we weren't even thinking about God or anything else, it was his love that lifted
amen.
Us. It was his love that took us out of that dark place. It was that love that turned that situation around. So just know that God loves you.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you.
Elder Nitisha, your testimony demonstrates,
mm-hmm.
showcases God's love.
Absolutely. You know, we all look at ourselves and see ourselves for the truth of who we are, even if we don't talk about it, even if it's not something we walk around broadcasting. We all know the truth about who we are. We know the flaws in the way we think. We know the ugliness that comes to our mind. We know the ugliness that can emerge out of our hearts at times. And yet, God is consistently pursuing us. He consistently heals us. He persistently is forgiving us. He doesn't stop. And it's by our testimony, it's every step of the way, that as we share how God has never stopped loving us when we were at our lowest part. The Bible says that while we were afar off, Christ was on the cross already settling the matter. So while I was in the club doing my own thing, while I was over to the left,
not even thinking about God. God was already making a way of escape from me, for me, out of my sinful nature. And it's that right there. It's as you continue to tell each step of the way how even when you thought you had arrived as a Christian, and that's so important to talk about, because often we talk about testimony, we take you all the way back to when I wasn't good, and back when I in the day when I was doing this. But let's talk about yesterday when I was a full-blown Christian, yesterday when I was anointed, fully call myself walking with God, yet something ugly emerged out of me, and God still granted me grace and mercy and still loves me. That is my ongoing testimony that continues to show how there is no cease to God's love. And that is what I think this broadcast has all been about today. The idea of testimony is simply to say, tell your story because it matters. Tell your story because it reveals the glory of God. Tell your story because it shows how God's love continues to pursue you at every age, at every season, during every time of your life. God bless.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just talking. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. I want to share something with you all that's so important about your testimony. And I don't think I shared this with you last. I think it was Thursday or Friday that I actually said this. And I said this before I bring Pastor Charlene on. But, you know, we talk about sharing our testimony. And last week, I gave you the news that we were on audible.com. And the latter part of the week, I looked at our geographical territory, and they give us the top five countries we're in. And Cambodia has been our number two country for quite some time now. And in the last few months, I've been looking at the nudge. It kept coming closer and closer to the United States, as of course the United States would be our number one country that we are listed in. Well, as of last week, Cambodia is our number one country. And, you know, I looked at it this morning, and it's even grown higher. So, you know, your testimonies are amazing. It's drawing people. It's because we are being seen as not just pastors, elders, Christians, ministers, evangelists. We're not seen as that alone. We are actually seen as people. And your transparency, your testimonies are helping people to identify with who we are and who and what the world actually goes through. And like Elder and I teacher just got finished saying, you know, we don't only talk about things that happen, as Pastor Kale says, in our former life. We also are very candid as to what's happened and what's happening even in our current walk. You know, just because we're, you know, Christians don't mean that we don't stumble and fall. But you ladies and you, this crew has been, I mean, just extra in giving your testimony. So I wanted to share that with you because I know you're not on with us on the latter part of the week. So understand that, you know, that audible.com gives us a further reach for God's people, the people who need us. And Cambodia, I don't know what we're saying, ladies. I don't know what, but know that God is using you where they have to translate what we're saying. So God bless you. Continue to do what you do, and God will continue to bless you. Thank you so much, and I pray you have a blessed day.
Well, we could not finish off a Wednesday without having our Faith Over Fear segment. And today is an easy one. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today, my love?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you over there?
I am well, thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you, one who is also, you're very candid and open and transparent. And, you know, it comes natural for you and these other ladies and the guys, you know. But for some people, there's this fear of being transparent and telling that testimony. How do you want to encourage those individuals? Because we may not have started off, you know, blurting stuff out. I know I didn't. I might be open now, but in the beginning it was a hard thing, you know. But let's talk about that thing here today, that faith over fear, and why we need to combat that in order for God to get the glory out of our life.
Amen. Absolutely. I was the same, Pastor Steph. I was very fearful. I was like, I don't want people to know my business. They'll walk around here talking about me. I was like, they'll look at me like sideways. So I was very fearful of expressing, you know. It took a long time for me to be able, and I would even hear people tell their testimony. I'd be like, wow, they said all of that. Oh, man, are people going to really be talking about them? But what I had to learn was that business ain't my business when you come to Christ. It's all about
Amen.
Giving God the glory.
Amen.
It's all about telling the people your story, because people need to hear how God has brought you through. A lot of times we have the same situation, but how God releases it, how God holds our hand, how God be able to put us in a predicament comes different from each other. So I thought about that, where that even during that time, you know, you got to tell your story, you know, and like the lady said, can't nobody tell it like you tell it. And you have to be able to know that God is with you when you stand. When you are able to stand, you know that you have been delivered totally, because a lot of times of the shame, of the hurt, of the guilt, when you're able to stand there and flat foot and tell your story, you know that God got you. You don't care what people say, because everybody got something going on. Amen. I always said there was a when I was able to have a platform service, I remember God had put on my heart that I am a survivor through my testimony. And I had an open mic, and that was one of the things that we do in the ministry, and where that people just get up and tell their story, and it helps so many people. So those who are ashamed, don't be ashamed about it. You know, like that song said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Oh, when that fire get up underneath you, and you talk about the goodness of Jesus, and how he brought you out those one way. Remember back in the day? Well, not just that, because you didn't hang out like that. But there was the drug spots, after spots, those that's on know those spots. And it was one way in and the same way out. And people coming in with the guns and the drugs is all over. Okay, so those that know that, you know it was nobody but God, because we are still standing and we are still able to tell our testimony. So tell your story. Don't be ashamed. Know that God got you, because you are able to help your brother, your sister, being able to not to do and how they or how they can get through. So trust and believe that God got you. Get up there and tell it like a bullhorn. Listen, we talk about everything else, don't we? We tell about how this one, we got with this one, what this one did for me with that one. Get up and talk about what Jesus has done for you. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody save you but Jesus. So go on and do what you got to do. Tell your story, and that's what we got to get to. Tell your story. And just like you said, even though through our times now, yes, we stumble, we fall, but God lift us up. We able to get up. He dust us off. All right now, get it together, girl. Get it together, my son, and get out there and tell the story of how you got there. Because if we link up to each other, there'll be so many other people that will come to Christ. Because you got to be transparent and real to him. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for that word today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
And you all Amen. Have a wonderful and a blessed one, too.
Thank you. Ah, wow. We got some word up in us today. Let's get that benediction. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8, 38 and 39. Well, first let me say again, thank you to the ladies for their transparency. And that's how they're able to stand here and be an example to you, because that's how we overcome. That's how God has done us. That we you gotta tell that. Like Pastor Shaw said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. You know, there's been, you know, since I've started becoming so open, you know, I started thinking, I think it was Shantice who said, you know, and Pastor Charlotte who also said, you know, when you start actually giving that testimony, you start rethinking that thing. You know, first thing you think about, I remember when I had the incident in the home with Tanasia, and I they locked me up. And I remember I wasn't going to tell. Somebody said, and I was like, oh, I can't say that. And it happened to me twice. And on the third go round, the Lord said, are you crazy? I gave you that testimony. You better tell that testimony. And I was like, oh, okay. And from that point, I became more open. And as I started talking more openly, I started, like, shielding certain things because my concern was for other people, you know, and I think about Elder Nitesha all the time, who openly says, you know, this happened at the hands of mom, and, you know, and I hear her loudly because of my own personal testimony. And I remember being, you know, even before I was hearing her, I was concerned about that. I was like, well, you know, if you say this, you got to say it this way, you got to say it that way. And God had to deal with me again. And he had to say, listen, I need to use you. I brought you here to this point to use you. Listen, you don't worry about covering that entire situation. You give it the way I give it to you. And recently someone asked me that, and I had to tell them, you know, I have been thinking about that. I've thought about the more God is opening me up, the more it exposes others who would love to continue to be covered, who would love to continue to hide, who would love, because they haven't given their life to the Lord, or that call on their life hasn't come yet. And I was really concerned about that. And when the question came, I had to say to the person, you know what? Well, guess what? I don't know what to tell you. And the day after we spoke, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, I want to say, you know, just softened something inside of me. And I said, you know, if the question should ever come, because by the time I answered the person, I was like, I was hyped and hot, because all stuff started coming in my head. But a gentler side came over me and was given to me. And, you know, I have to present it and tell the, you know, whenever that comes out, I have to say to the person, listen, when you were living your life, if it was lived privately, it would be your story. Ooh. It would be your journey and subsequently your story. However, because your journey and the way you lived and the choices you made included Stephanie, it now became my story. Oh, what a mistake you made when you thought that this was going to be your story
and your story alone. When you thought that life as it was going to stay life as it was, and when you came through it, you were going to be able to kind of pack it up in a box, wrap it with a bow, and put it over in the corner and kind of hold it there and let it be buried with you. Unfortunately for you, God said, I need her life. And in order to pull people and draw people to me, I've got to use her and those like her. Because, see, she has a story that's going to change a life. And now that the story must be told, you're going to have to go to God about that. Because, see, I can't keep your secrets anymore. And I've always gave my congregation the word, be careful of whose secrets you make the commitment to keep. Because if God needs you to speak or to tell, you're going to have to break that promise. Well, here's the best part. I never made that promise. Oh, I made one promise, and that was one promise to God, that whatever you told me to do, after I got locked up, I made the commitment to God. I said, you will never have to tell me to do anything twice. And if that includes a piece of your history, well, guess what? God is ready to hear you at any time you need to speak to him. Because unfortunately, that's not a conversation for you and I after this explanation. You're going to have to go to God and you're going to have to converse with him about this thing called secrets, hiding your story. Because guess what? As Pastor Charlotte said, it ain't my story. It's not my story. It's God's story. And I have no other choice but to do what God said. Because he's already challenged me one time and said, you made a promise to me. Now you can do what you want to do, but are you willing to deal with the consequences of your disobedience? Whoa, absolutely not. I guess I'll toe that line as well. So, see, other people don't understand. Well, we have to give our testimony what it entails. But when there's that call on your life and you have to understand, and you have gotten to the point where you understand that to God be the glory for all things he's done in my life. See, I got to tell this story because I am overcome by telling my story. If I kept it hidden, I'd be using drugs, I'd be drinking, I'd be promiscuous, I'd be gambling, I'd have some other issues. But because I let God use me and tell that testimony, I have a level of freedom that no one else can talk about but me. Elder Natisha has her freedom. Shantice has her freedom. Pastor Kim has hers. And Pastor Charlotte has her freedom. And the only reason why we have that freedom is because we have opened up and allowed God to use us. My advice, as well as all of the ladies today, for those of you who are in your closet and are afraid to tell your story because you might be embarrassed or because you just might step into some areas that may be a little bit uncomfortable, trust God. Experience that freedom. Experience that freedom that we have now. That no one else can give you but God. Experience God's love right now. Experience what you get from not giving the enemy glory, not letting the enemy steal your life, not letting the enemy steal your freedom. Let your testimony be your gateway to a life in Christ that no one else can tell but you. And you let that of Let them other people do their own worrying. If they gave their life to the Lord, then maybe they would experience the freedom. Or if they decided to talk, they'd experience that freedom. So that's what you need to do today. And if you haven't learned anything else today, learn that the freedom that you'll experience comes from telling your testimony. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies for always giving it up and changing a life one way or another. Thank you for listening and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior or deepen that relationship with Him, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares with Therapeutic Thursday. I love you. Thank you.